So we'll begin tonight. It's going to be more of an advanced teaching. So bear with, it's a lot of information. We'll see if I can do it. And sometimes it's going to go over a lot of people's heads. But it'll be for the future. So it'll be called Receive Ye the Spirit by the Works of the Law? And when we look at all of our existence in this book, in our life, there's one thing we're all aiming for. It's very simply, it's called life age abiding. So that's what this whole book's about. And we want to live our best life that we have today, but we know it's going to end, so that's always behind us. So if we can say, okay, there is life age abiding, and so that's from the beginning all the way to the end of the book, which we are trying to attain to. So, understanding the age we live in is very important. To understand the scriptures, we're really going to be looking at Romans and Galatians and putting that in light to where we actually live. So, we have to understand, before Christ was born, we had 4,000 years of people living and dying. Could they make Christ their Lord?
No.
No, because he never even existed. They don't even know he existed. We have to be able to say, well, how do these people, how are they going to receive life age abiding? Very simple. And so most people today, all they know is the New Testament. So I see on these groups, Christian groups, they'll say, can you be saved, you know, or can you receive life age abiding if you've never heard of Christ? Well, and people would answer, no, you can't, because you only can come through Jesus or through Christ. Well, that would be completely unjust. You know, if you're talking about a person on an island or some country who has no knowledge whatsoever. There's no Bible. There's no relationship whatsoever. So we'll be discussing that too. So we know our book begins with life, Adam and Eve, Genesis 2, and then the fall came, Genesis 3. And so now it's a redemptive time for 4,000 years until Christ begins his ministry. So Christ, in the perspective, we got 4,000 years where they don't know who he is because he doesn't exist. You know, how are these people affected? And then we've got Christ, and at the end we see in Revelation that he is king of the new earth. It's not king of heaven. And so what happens is it really comes down to, if you got this concept of heaven, and people are already in heaven, there is no king up there. I don't know if they even think Yahweh's king, most people. So obviously you just go from here to heaven, and that's all there is to it. Well, that's not the case. Everybody's asleep, and there's going to be a time of resurrection, and there's going to be a new earth, because we are terrestrial creatures. We're not celestial creatures. We're terrestrial creatures, because Yahweh gave the earth to Adam and to Eve. And so we're going to be living on a thousand years with Christ on the new earth. So that is our story, and how is this all incorporated? For those, you know, so that is, the new earth is in Revelation 20, verse 6, and we're not going to have to go there, and 11 through 12, very simply, the story that nobody even thinks about, you know. So most Christianity has been so, there's a word in Galatians, I think, or Jude, about sorcery. So, you know, who has beguiled you? Who has blinded you? And actually, most Christians have been received sorcery, blinding, because how could you look at something and never even examine or think about this? You read the book, and to them, and that was me too. Everything was heaven. There was no earth, because you don't know the Old Testament, and you're not even paying attention to Revelation. So we're going to look at, how do people get life age abiding, and in particular ages, stuck? You got to really push hard.
Okay, I was going to go stand in the back because I'm tired. So.
Okay, go. Okay, go push it. No, here. So, we have those who did not know Christ. We have Abel, which is, you know, who is righteous. Genesis 4, 3 through 4. We have Noah, which is righteous. Genesis 3, 6 and 9. That time period is 1,656 years. You know, we're thinking about with ours, United States, you know, 250 years. You know, George Washington is a long way. This is 1,600. Just from Abel to Noah. The next period is Abram. You know, this is where we get circumcision. So Was Noah breaking the law by not being circumcised?
No.
Was Abel breaking the law? Because it was not even available. They didn't even know about it. So that was 402 years after Noah. So circumcision came into point. Then we have Moses, which is Exodus. And that was 455 years. So you have circumcision and you have what? What did he bring?
Levitical law.
The law. The law. That was the Ten Commandments. The Levitical law. So the total time span from Abel to Moses is 2,513 years. And we can't even comprehend something like that. So we know good works, and Yahweh is always looking at the heart of man. So I specifically say we have all been, we have an innate ability that Yahweh's put in us. Innate means to be born with. You know, no different than a goose knows to fly south and what to eat and what not to eat. That's innate. We have an innate knowledge of to love thy neighbor as thyself. Nobody has to teach us. Don't do something to somebody you wouldn't want them to do to you. Very simply. So people have to choose that, and they obviously know there's a creator. Because this didn't happen by accident. So we know there's a creator, and we know love thy neighbor as thyself. So you get to choose. You know, Abel did that. How about Cain?
No.
No, he did not do that. And does anybody have to teach you murder is bad? Well, Cain, nobody told Cain murder was against one of the commandments. Well, of course, it's innate. We know, love your neighbor as yourself. So good works are the foundation of whether people are going to receive life, age abiding. So let's go to Acts. Or let's just go to Psalms 30. Well, I'll just repeat it. Psalms 34, 15 and 16. You don't have to go there. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry for help. The face of Yahweh is against such as do wickedness, to cut from the earth their memory. Very simply. Yahweh loves righteousness. And what is righteousness? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Very simply. Helping people, helping children, helping widows. If you've got the ability to help, you do it. Very simply. And now we go to Acts 10 to kind of quantify this, because most Christians today only think about today, the age that they're living. And they're going to say, it's not by works of righteousness, but by his faith alone. Not by works of righteousness, but that's grace. And so I can do whatever I want. And Yahweh doesn't really care because Christ paid it all. And that's not it at all. So they really missed the boat. So we go to Acts 10, verse 34, page 130 in the New Testament. And this is Peter going to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Gentile, a non-Hebrew, a person who was not circumcised. And they had the vision and so forth, and Yahweh told him to go there because he said, what I have cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. And so, verse 34 and 35, and Peter opening his mouth said, of a truth I find that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto him. Well, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 10. And this is Cornelius. He was not a Hebrew. And a certain man in Caesarea by name Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian, devout and what?
Fearing.
Fearing God with all his house, doing many alms unto the people and supplicating Yahweh, and it's probably Elohim, continually. That's why he was chosen. You're a righteous individual. Well, you can't be righteous. No, we've got to take this into perspective. This is how things are done. Now we go to Romans chapter 2, Acts Romans. We'll get to see also 2 verse 26 to 29. And so after Abraham, there became a circumcision and an uncircumcised. So if you're following Yahweh, you got circumcised. If you're not following Yahweh, you're uncircumcised. 3:26 says, if then the uncircumcision be gathered,
guarding
the righteous requirements of the law, so they're doing what the law is saying, loving thy neighbor as thyself, shall not his uncircumcision as circumcision be reckoned? And the uncircumcision by nature, completing the law, shall judge thee who, notwithstanding letter and circumcision, art a transgressor of the law. For not he is one in appearance is a Jew, nor is that which such an appearance in flesh circumcision. But he who is one in secret is a Jew, and that is circumcision which is of the heart, in spirit, not in letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yahweh. So we saw that the uncircumcised are actually doing the law. There is a law. And you know that sometimes, too. There are people around who have never opened the Bible at all, but they're very kind people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yeah. Very simply. And Revelations, now we go with good works. So we're looking at good works. Revelations 20, verse 11. Now, the difference on those people who are doing their good works, if they refuse the Bible, they are accountable. And what we're going to see is, by doing good works, are you going to receive Holy Spirit?
No.
This is something very, very important. Revelations 20, 11 through 13. So we see this is the end of the book. And this is, you know, we're trying to get people... You know, we're not under Levitical law, per se. We're under the moral law. The Ten Commandments are still in effect, which are right. And at the end of the book, we're going to see how people are judged, whether it's by grace or by their doings. And I saw a great white throne and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth. That's our King Yahushua. And heaven and place was not found for them. I saw the dead, the great, and the small standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their what?
Works.
Okay, very simple, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their what?
Works.
Their works. So, this is, okay, works are really involved here. When people say it's not by works of righteousness, which is fine, because Galatians and Romans and the church epistles are hard to reconcile because we're not Hebrews. If we were Hebrews, I think we would understand the concept. We were Gentiles who knew nothing about the Old Testament, or even the New Testament, and just jumped in, and we read a couple of books and a couple of verses, and that's it. That's the story. Which is actually devastating when people go on the other extreme and think that their flesh can do whatever they want. And Melania was talking about, you know, fornication. Well, you know, or adultery. You know, according to the Old Testament, that was a capital offense. You die.
Yeah.
That's how serious this is in Yahweh's eyes. Now, in our society, it's not. But you better think twice, I mean, the consequences of a just God. Now, before Christ's sacrifice, so our age didn't really begin until Christ did his sacrifice. Good works are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So while he is alive doing his ministry, they would ask him, Lord, what must I do to have life age abiding? And he did that in Matthew, we're not going to go there, Matthew 19, 16 through 19, and Mark 10, 17 to 19, and Luke 10, 25 to 28. And he told him what? Good master, what must I do to have life age abiding? And he would say,
Hero of Israel, Yahweh's Elohim.
He's going to say the Ten Commandments. He's going to love your neighbor, do not steal, do not
fear.
And so that was very simply, how do these people receive life age abiding? Why he was, before he died, was by what?
Works.
And what were those works? Loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, so it's very simply, it's not only what you do not do, it is what you do. Because If I, like we said before, I don't murder or commit adultery, but are you helping the orphans? Are you helping the widows? Are you helping the sojourners? No. Well, you're violating the whole structure of the law, the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Because if you love Yahweh, you're going to do all of that. Because loving your neighbor, he says you cannot love God if you don't love your neighbor. And that's in 1 John, very simply. You can't love Yahweh without loving your neighbor. Because if I see my neighbor have need, and I have what he needs, and I say, good luck, Austin, my prayers are with you, be on your way. And it says, how dwells the love of Yahweh in that man? Mm-hmm. You know, you speak it, but there's no action. And so they're connected. Actions are very, very important, critical. Now, the Gospel of John is not that way. So that's why you have to be very careful with the Gospel of John. John has to be set over here, because we know John 3:16 says, how do you receive salvation, life, age, and body?
You receive Yahushua.
Well, go ahead. John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved
the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have life, age, abiding.
So what's the requirement according to John?
Believing
in him. That's it. Well, that's really foreign. That has nothing to do with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so what is actually believing in him in anyway? Does Satan believe in Jesus?
Yeah. He saw it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, do the demons believe in Jesus? Well, they believe, yeah. So there's more to that than meets the eye. You know, the high priest believed in him also. They just wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
But they knew he was the Messiah, and they'll be held accountable for that. But that's another story. Now, Christ paid the price, which is redemption. So we know it. Yahweh gave Adam and Eve life. They chose to sin, which was the fall. We had to be redeemed. So I've said this before. In my opinion, let's say that in the word, but if Christ was not going to be born, then mankind would have never been made. Because we've died and we're in a fallen state all of our life. And so we had to have one perfect man who we had to submit to and bow to, who's going to save us by redeeming us and paying the price of what we deserved. That is the, you know, the ascension. So Christ paying the price of ascension, that starts a new game. So once Christ has died and paid the price, Spirit can come now into the place. So before then, Spirit is according to your holiness. And so remember, it's called Holy Spirit, which means you're set apart from the world, and majority of people are not set apart from the world. So they would never qualify to receive a spirit which is holy, according to their works. Christ made that available because we get redeemed, and it's because of his works that we can be poured out Holy Spirit, which we will see. But it's a new game. We have to have... the new rule is... you have to make Christ your master. Mm-hmm. And do good works. Because you can't make him your master and not do good works.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, but you have to make him your master. So this is never done before. Because you still have Jews here who are not going to make him their master, but they're going to do good works.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at a dividing line, and that's really Acts 2 and Acts 10. For the Gentiles, it's actually Acts 10. So, Spirit is conditioned not on good works, but by you bowing and submitting to the kingship or lordship of Christ. If you don't do that, you get no Spirit. So, it's a condition, very simply. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 2. These are the new rules, and this is what we live under. So we have to understand that, because after we're gone, after the parousia of the Lord for this church, we're in the age of the sacred secret, which is another course altogether. We're going to be taken up. Tribulation is going to happen, and it's going to revert back to no spirit, in my opinion, very simply, because the people who are going to go through the tribulation refuse to make Christ the Lord. So they don't deserve spirit. Now they've got a situation as you must endure and keep me as your Lord, even to death, and you'll get life age abiding. But if you take the mark of the beast, you know what's going to happen?
That's right on the lake of fire.
You're out. Very simply. What's the mark of the beast? Is that going to help your life on this earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't buy anything unless you get the mark of the beast. So now I've got a decision to make whether to sell my souls, theoretically, to receive the pleasures or the necessities of this life, or I'm going to die. Yeah. And so I have to choose the earth.
This life or next.
Under Satan, the mark of the, I'm going to bow to the beast, or I'm going to die bowing to Christ. And that's Revelation. Book of Revelation. Now we go to Acts 2:38. When do you want to read 38 and 39?
And Peter said unto them, repent ye, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yahushua Mashiach, into the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. For unto you is the promise, and unto your children, and unto all them who are afar off, as many soever as the Lord our Elohim shall call unto him.
That's all. But receive, you have, the condition is Christ, which means you've got your remission of sins, which means now you qualify for Holy Spirit. You're going to receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. So good works are not the condition. It's making the Lord Christ the Lord in your life. We see in Acts chapter 3, verse 13, same kind of thing. And the story, the Elohim of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Elohim of your fathers, have glorified his servant Yahushua. And they're telling this to Jews. Or Hebrews, Judeans, that's what Jew stands for, not to the Gentiles. Because now I've got a transition. Here's Jews I'm dealing with, and they were by the works of the law for getting life, age, and body, and that's with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now things have changed to say, no, that's not in anymore. That's required. But you have to make Yahushua. You're going to say, I'm going to bow to Christ. And if you don't do that, you're out.
Yeah.
So the good works have no bearing anymore. Without Christ. Christ and good works are mandatory. So he says, and glorified his servant Yahushua, whom you indeed delivered up and denied to Pilate's face when he had adjudged to release him. But ye denied the holy and righteous one and claimed a man that was a murderer to be granted unto you. But the princely leader of life ye slew. Now we go to 22 to 26. So Moses indeed said, a prophet unto you shall Yahweh Elohim raise up from among your brethren like unto me. And this is in Deuteronomy 18:15. Yeah. Unto him shall you hearken, respecting all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. So Yahweh in their foreknowledge is saying a prophet's coming. This is going to take precedent over everything. And it shall be every soul whatsoever which shall not hearken unto that prophet. Because why that prophet is my prophet, and I'm going to give him the words to speak, and if you do not obey those words, here's what's going to happen, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. What about my Levitical law? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What about my doing all that the Ten Commandments? Doesn't matter. Very simply, if you reject Christ, you're rejecting life. Now we go to Acts chapter 19. So now we start incorporating this. 1 through 6. How important spirit is and the condition of receiving the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through
Acts chapter 19,
verse 1. Right after Acts 18. Just kidding. I cracked myself up. And it came to pass, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, passing through the upper parts, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples and said unto them, Holy Spirit received you when you believed. Well, if Christ is not their Lord, could they receive Holy Spirit?
Nope.
No. Very simply, we're going to say, and they said unto him, nay, not even whether there is Holy Spirit did we hear. And he said, into what then were you immersed? And they said, into John's immersion. But by being immersed by John did not qualify you to receive Holy Spirit. It had to be the end of Christ's life and sacrifice,
yeah,
that the remission of sins and you making Christ your Lord, not Yahweh king. I mean, he's still king, but he has given Christ everything.
The mediator.
You must bow to him. And then said Paul, John immersed with the immersion of repentance unto the people, saying that on him who is coming after him, they should believe.
That is
on Yahushua. So here's the condition. And when they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Yahushua, and Paul laid hands upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speaking with tongues and prophesying. So that makes our case that it has to be the lordship,
yeah,
the kingship of Christ. Now we go on, the Jews relying on good, Jews relying on good works, refusing to bow to Christ. What will happen is they get no spirit, and they're going to die in the second death. Acts 28:23 is going to show that. So here's Paul in the synagogue, and they all came to his house, and he's going to preach to them from morning until evening, showing that Yahushua is the Mashiach. This is the Christ. 23:28, Melania 23.
And having arranged with him a day, there came unto him to the lodging a larger number unto whom he proceeded to expound, bearing full witness as to the kingdom of Yahweh, and persuading them concerning Yahushua, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. And some indeed were persuaded by the things that were spoken, whereas others disbelieved. And not being agreed among themselves, they began to leave. Paul having one thing...
Said one thing. Stop there. And then he showed you, but those are the Hebrews. Some chose to believe, which means they made Yahushua their Lord, which takes precedent over the Levitical law. And they receive Holy Spirit, while the other people in the synagogue goes back to their synagogue. Now, does it make any difference how long they stay in the synagogue? No, because they've been given the opportunity. They've been introduced into Yahushua, and they've refused him, which means no matter what they do, they're going to die in the second death. And they're never going to receive spirit. So that's what they're chosen. So we got Galatians and Romans, and it's going to be based on circumcision. So this is, and with us, we're not even aware how important circumcision is. So we go to Genesis 17. And we're as Gentiles, or nations, not Hebrews. Now everybody, we're all circumcised, because that's the way it was done. The majority of the people. But this is a huge deal. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9 through 14. And Elohim said unto Abraham, but as for thee, my covenant must thou keep, thou and thy seed after thee to their generations. Is there any loopholes in this?
Mm-mm.
Let's look at this. This is my covenant which you shall keep betwixt me and you and thy seed after thee, to circumcise you every male. So shall ye be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. So shall become a sign of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised to you, every male to your generations. He that is born of the house, and he that is bought with silver, and of the son of a stranger who is not of thy seed, he must surely be circumcised. Born of thy house, or bought with thy silver, so shall my covenant be in your flesh for an age-abiding covenant. What's that sound like? Age-abiding covenant. That's set. But as for the uncircumcised male who shall not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from among his people. My covenant hath he made void. Well, you got to understand it. Every Hebrew knows this. Now, Paul's coming around speaking that you don't have to be circumcised. Oh. Genesis 17, age-abiding covenant. What's up with you, guy? You know, so the only reason that can be any way overridden is why would I listen to anybody who's going to try to override that?
Mighty works.
Mighty works. So they came doing signs that only show that Yahweh was with them. You know, so because otherwise, just because you say it, it's like Joseph Smith or somebody else, and I got an angel, he said this or anything else. No, Athanasius, Basil, everybody else, it is a sign of an apostle was mighty works. Very simply. Now we go to Acts 15. And we're going to see this is a big issue, which is understandably, this is the foundation of the seed of Abraham. 15 verse 1. And a certain person coming down from Judea began to teach the brethren, except ye be circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, yeah, that's what Genesis 17 says. You know? Very simply. Now we go to verse 5. But there had stood forth some of those who from the sect of Pharisees had believed, saying, they believed, it is needful to be circumcising them also to charge them to be keeping the law of Moses, which stands reasonable. I mean, that's what the scriptures say. And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to see about this matter. And the good point is they came to the apostles.
Yeah.
You know, these are the guys who are with Christ. These are the people who raised the dead. Peter was a person whose shadow would heal people. You know, so it's just a line of, okay, is he with Yahweh? Yes. Did Christ tell them ahead of time, you're not going to be circumcised?
No,
he did not. So they brought to the apostles, what about this? And here's Peter, verse 7, and when much discussion has risen, Peter standing up and said unto them, brethren, yourselves well know that in days long past amongst you, Yahweh chose that through my mouth the nation should hear the word of the glad tidings and believe. And the heart observing Elohim bear witness unto them, giving the Holy Spirit. Why? Not because they were circumcised, because these people were not circumcised. The house of Cornelius was never circumcised. But he gave them the Holy Spirit anyway, because they believed and made Yahushua their Lord, their Master. Just as even unto us, and made no distinction at all between us and them, even though they are uncircumcised and we're circumcised.
By their faith,
purifying their hearts. Okay. And so it's good enough information. He said, okay, no circumcision, which is huge. This is in the middle of the book. Now we go to Romans 2 and understand Romans 2:17. We're always addressing this same issue. Acts, Romans. If, however, thou art taking the name of Jew and resting thyself upon law and boasting in God, and are taking note of his will and testing the things that differ when receiving oral instructions out of the law. So we see this is all about the Jew, 25-29. For circumcision indeed profiteth, if law thou be practicing, but if thou be a transgressor of the law, thy circumcision hath become uncircumcision. So Romans has circumcision about it, because we're talking to the Jews and we're doing this transition period away from Yahushua now is in a situation, and he is over, you know, this new order has overridden the other laws.
And you mean Yahushua is in a situation?
Circumcision was imperative before Yahushua
died. Right.
So you had to be circumcised because you were breaking the law of Moses.
Right.
But now that doesn't happen anymore. So he paid the price, and so we have to realize, well, that which was the foundation of Judaism, of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, is no longer to be circumcised. So we're going through this back and forth through the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. Whereas Gentiles don't even pay attention to this. So the point is, is we'll see. I don't want to get before the point. But it's circumcision. We go to Galatians chapter 2. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. And we're going to see the whole book is people who are the nations, or what we call Gentiles, received Christ as their Lord. I mean, actually, I don't say received, they're bowing to Christ. Mm-hmm. So you don't receive Christ. You say, I want him to be my king. I want to live on a new earth. I want life age abiding. Then bow to your king. Mm-hmm. And I am emphatically stating, I'm going to live for him and serve him now and in the future. That was there. But then somebody came up to him and said, you need to be circumcised. Mm-hmm. And now it's going against. And so in the book of Galatians, to understand Galatians, you have to know that. And it says, I marvel. Another place, I am perplexed. Another place, oh, thoughtless ones. Another one's annoyance. So this is going through the book of Galatians. You're going back away from...
Okay, that's what Paul's saying.
Yeah, what he's saying is, but it's about circumcision, and which is very crucial. So 2, verse 1 and 3... And when we know this was the Mosaic law, I mean, not the Mosaic law, Abrahamic law, 2:1-3, and after that, 14 years later, I again went up in Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking with me Titus also, and I went up by revelation and laid before them the glad message which I proclaimed among the nations, privately, however, to them of repute, lest by any means in vain I should be running or have run. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. I mean, this is huge. How much time do I got? So he's bringing people right into the apostles, and this guy's not circumcised. Yeah. I'm not going to have him circumcised. This is why? Because of what Christ has done. You guys are missing it.
Yeah.
Now we go to 5, verse 1. Through 3. You want to read that, Wendy? 5:1-3.
With her freedom, Christ hath made you free. Okay, wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a serving woman, but of the free. With her freedom, the Mashiach hath made you free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not again with the yoke of servitude be held fast. See, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be getting circumcised, the Mashiach will profit you nothing. Yea, I bear solemn witness again unto every man getting circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law.
So what we end up doing is saying, well, the law is not important. You know, because we've been redeemed from the law, which we're going to look at. And so we're going to look at this all has to be, no. The law is very important. Doing the Ten Commandments is a commandment. That was the Ark of the Covenant. And that's loving thy neighbor as thyself. So we're seeing circumcision all the way through here. We'll go to other places. We won't go there, but in verse 6, chapter 5, verse 11, chapter 6, verse 12, verse 15, circumcision, circumcision, circumcision. So how do I understand Galatians? Okay, now Christ, new king, by Yahweh's authority. So now Yahweh, who was king, has made his son king in his place. And he has given all authority. Not before you bow to Yahweh, and now I have put Christ in charge, you're going to bow to him. Because he's over everything that I've made. You know, Christ is a requirement to receive life in this age. Mm-hmm. You must do that. Good works, but rejecting Christ means no spirit and no life. So that's the controversy between this book and good works. So we look at 3 of Galatians 3, verse 1. O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose very eyes Yahushua Mashiach was openly set forth as a crucified one? There it is. This only am I wishing to learn from you. By works of the law did you receive the Ruach. See, there is the whole key. Did you receive the Ruach by doing the Levitical law? Or by a believed report. And you received it by making Christ your Lord, not by the works of the law. So you've got things backwards, is what it comes down to. Now we go to verse 10 to 14, same chapter. For as many as are works of the law are under a curse, well, we know that they're not. All right, for it is written, a curse is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Huh, well, no. Because that's Galatians, or that's Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15. Let's keep your hand here. Page 226 in the Old Testament. So there's another meaning here. Everybody knows the blessing of Deuteronomy 28. And there's a curse too. Yes. If you don't do good. But it says right back here, as many as are works of the law are under a curse. Well, no. The people who actually did the law by obeying Yahweh, Deuteronomy 28, are blessed.
Yeah.
Right? And it says 28, and it shall, verse 1, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing the commandments, right? Which I am commanding thee today. Is that Levitical law?
Yeah.
Yes, that is. This is Deuteronomy. The law has been given. Then will Yahweh thy Elohim set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come in upon thee and reach thee because thou dost hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim. That's blessing. But wait a minute here. The voice of Yahweh now has changed. The voice of Yahweh now says Christ is master. And when you don't, if you're not going to take that word, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be cursed. Because look at 15, and all the blessings are out here. But it shall be, if thou do not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, that means
bow to Yehoshua.
You don't bow to Yehoshua. You go get circumcised after we told you not to get circumcised, right? To observe, to do all these commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding thee today, then shall come in unto thee all these what? Curses. Shall reach thee. Now you are cursed because you have not obeyed the new voice of Yahweh. So not hearkening to the voice of Yahweh equals a curse. And his voice today is...
And he tells you to...
Is in Acts 3:22-23, which you read, a new prophet's coming. And you will listen to everything he says and obey, and if you don't do it, what's going to happen?
You'll be cursed.
You're going to be dead.
Dead.
You're going to perish. You're going to be destroyed. A new voice came. In Philippians 2, we all know that, chapter 2. So we got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. 2 verse 9, the short version, through 11. Wherefore also Yahweh hath lifted him far on high, that's Christ, and favored him with the name which is above every name, in order that in the name of Yahushua every knee might bow, of beings in heaven, and that is the non-physical world, and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yahushua Mashiach is master. So when you think of Lord, that means master. I'm a servant. I have agreed to serve. Unto the glory of Yahweh our Father. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, the exalted position of things changing. So we have to look at, so once Christ was ascended, things changed. Alright, now we're submitting ourselves to Him and Him only. So Jews, you reject him, you reject it all. Muslims, same situation. Hindus, anybody else. If you have access to the Word of Yahweh and reject it, and it's page 178.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess
but look at how important Christ is. 23, but each in his own rank, a first fruit Christ, after that they who are Christ in his presence, they who are Christ. So we have become the body of Christ. He is our head. Afterwards the end, whensoever he delivered up the kingdom unto his Elohim and Father, whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and all authority and power, for he must needs reign until he shall put all his enemies under his feet. As the last enemy, death is to be destroyed, for he will put all things in subjection under him. For he, Yahweh, put all things in subjection under Yahushua's feet. But whensoever it shall be said, all things in subjection, is evident that it means except Yahweh, who did put into subjection unto Yahushua the all things. But whensoever, having been put into subjection unto Yahushua the all things, then the Son himself shall be put in subjection unto Yahweh, who put in subjection unto Yahushua the all things, that Yahweh may be all in all. So Yahweh has said, okay, new plan, new name, bow, you receive Holy Spirit, do the Ten Commandments, and actually it's 1,000 commandments. I mean, we've got so many more of do this, throw this off, put this on. But it's not the Levitical law. Let me see. Galatians 4. Let's go back to Galatians. Corinthians, Galatians. How to wind this up. Chapter 4, 1 through 7. But I say, for as long a time as the heir is an infant, and we're going to talk about the difference between the before Christ's sacrifice and after Christ's sacrifice. So you've got, you know, you're following Moses, you're following Abraham, but now things are going to change. I'll start over, but I say, for as long a time as the heir is an infant, he differed nothing from a servant, though Lord of all, but is under guidance and guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. So also we were infants, under the elementary principles of the world, were held in servitude. But when the fullness of the time came, Yahweh sent forth his Son. This is the transition period, who came to be of a woman, who came to be under the law. He fulfilled the law, that them who were under the law he might do what? Redeem. He's buying back from Adam's sin, that the sonship we might duly receive. Why? Because we make him our Lord, and as he is a son, we become a son. And because you are sons, Yahweh has sent forth his what?
Spirit of
Ruach, his spirit of his Son into your hearts, exclaiming, Abba, O Father. So that no longer art thou a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir through Yahweh. So now we start seeing how spirit is interjected in this whole transitionary phase. So spirit is a gift received by bowing to Christ. You cannot receive without bowing to Christ. Now, the law is understood in this context, you know, rejecting Christ with good works, you're going to die, and you're not going to receive the spirit. Now we go to 2 Corinthians, kind of finish up here almost, 3. We really, you know, so now we have to look at, the law is never bad, but by looking at the contrast is, it's been superseded. And so 3 is all going to talk about, because it looks like the law is bad, but the law is great. The law gave life. The law is, you know, that's the Levitical laws. That's what was holy. But you have to understand that in this life, 1 Corinthians 3:1, are we to begin again ourselves to commend, or have we need, like some of commendatory letters before you or from you? Our letter ye are inscribed in our hearts, noted and read by all men, manifesting yourselves that you are a letter of Christ, ministered by us, inscribed not with ink, but with the Ruach of a living God. Why? Because Christ is your Lord. Not in tables of stone. Why not in tables of stone? Yes. Because Christ has replaced that. But in tables which are the heart of the flesh. But such confidence as this have we through Christ towards Yahweh, not that of our own selves sufficient are we to reckon anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Yahweh, who hath made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of Ruach, for the letter killeth, which it only killeth if you refuse Christ. If you have Christ accessible to you and you go by the letter, guess what's going to happen to you? So you have a Jew who's not going to make Christ their Lord. What's going to happen if he does the law?
You're going to die.
You're going to die. Because you have not submitted yourself unto the voice of Yahweh, you are cursed. Because you're rejecting whom I have sent to be my representatives. Whereas the Spirit maketh alive, which you see. But if the ministry of death in letters, engraven in stones, was brought into existence with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look steadfastly into the face of Moses, but reason the glory of his face, whose glory was not to be done away with, how shall not rather the ministry of the Ruach be with glory? And this whole chapter, we don't have time to go through, but you need to read that. And this is only on the transition phase and not before. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the law is everything. Doing the law is everything. It's not death, and it's not setting apart, and it's all these other things it's not. It's only after Christ has taken that place. So, let's talk about the people who have never heard of Christ. Billions of people. They don't have a Bible. People ask, what about them? You know, the people before Christ was ever born. The people who did righteousness, to the best of my knowledge, very simply is, when they get brought to the new earth, when they get resurrected, they're going to say, here's your king, bow to him. And if you're a good person, what are you going to do?
You're going to bow.
You're going to bow because and tell the story of what this guy did for you. Because without him, you would not be resurrected.
Yeah.
Very simply, so I'm going to bow to him. I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
You know, I knew the seed of the woman. And I know, depending on where you live...
Like children who die.
But we got people, billions of people before Noah who had none of this stuff. But they did a righteous thing. Tell me the story. So they will bow and make Yahushua... They did righteous things. And when they did unrighteous things, you know what they did? They asked for forgiveness. And they were sorry and they brought restitution. If I stole from somebody, what did I do? I gave it back. And with penalties. God do that. Their good works because we see good works will equal life, age, and body, as long as they bow to Christ. And that's justice of Yahweh. There's no other way it could be unjust to say, well, you never heard of him, sorry. That was Calvinism or the Presbyterian Church's election. And so, you were supposed to be saved before you ever born. And the other people were not saved. So no matter what they did, they can't be saved. And it was called election, that you were saved before you were even born. And so there's nothing you do could change your destiny in any way or form, which is just foolishness. It's absolutely foolishness, but that's the Presbyterian Church. And so 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 is, for the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one died in behalf of all, therefore all died, in order that they who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. So that's the story. Christ died for all. If he didn't die, there is no resurrection. There is no purpose to mankind. Bow to him. That's how we understand these epistles and our transition period. Okay, we'll end there.
Thank you.
And I do. Oh, yeah. 2 minutes early. The rough version. I did phase. Well, okay. And because of the Ruach HaKodesh, we can do 1 Corinthians 14, which what a privilege it is to hear from our Heavenly Father for these people. In the future, Father, we thank you for these words through Mashiach, and we thank you, Christ, for making us holy, that we bow to you, we kiss your feet, whatever we do, because you made it all possible to have our life, and we are to imitate you. Become ye imitators of Yahweh as children beloved, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh for sweet fragrance. And that's Ephesians 5:1-2. That's our mission. And these words, Father, we thank you. Be bold and courageous and staunch, and do not be intimidated by the darkness of this world, but stand up, because I abide within you, and my might is greater than all might. So be bold and be courageous and speak my word with all authority and all readiness, and activate that Ruach, that Holy Spirit that's inside you, so you may bring my deliverance to mankind as it has been required. Amen. See you next week. Okay.